Well, good morning, church family. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Graham. I am the young adults pastor here on our staff here at East Point. And if you're watching us online, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Hey, can we give another praise to God for how awesome that worship time was? He's worthy, right? So great. Praise God. So much fun. So this morning, I want to ask you kind of more of a sobering question. Has there ever been a time in your life where you felt like you were beyond the reach of help, where you felt hopeless or you felt broken? I remember I sat across from a young adult last summer, and he had tears in his eyes as he was describing an addiction that had formed in his high school years. And then in college, it had only gotten worse, and then it started to rear its ugly head up in his life as a young adult and was starting to really mess up his life. And I remember he was sitting across from me with tears in his eyes, and he said, "I've tried so many times, time and time again, to quit this addiction, but nothing seems to be working." Maybe you can relate. Maybe there's been times in your life where you felt beyond the reach of help, where you felt hopeless, broken, in despair. Maybe there's someone here this morning, you've been wrestling with a medical diagnosis, and there's really no treatment for it, and you're just frustrated by that. Maybe some of you this morning, you're struggling with mental health issues and mental health battles, and it seems like the same cycles keep repeating themselves over and over again, and you're just fatigued at this point. You're starting to lose hope. Maybe there's some people this morning where you just are having some relationship issues. You're going from one broken relationship to the next, and you're thinking, I don't know, maybe I'm just cursed. Maybe I need to give up on relationships altogether. Or maybe this morning you're watching us online and you're just looking for some hope that's just going to get you through today. Well, I just want to encourage you, keep watching, because I really believe that you're going to have the hope that you need, not only to get you through today, but for the rest of this week and a lifetime. Because today we're going to be continuing on in our series called Restore, where just like what we saw in that cool bumper video, that Jesus turns the tables on this broken and dying world, and he resets a new table of his kingdom. Pretty cool. And so today we're going to be looking at two individuals in the book of Matthew who are feeling out of reach of help in their own way. One was unable to walk. He has a physical disability. And the other one, although he's able to walk, probably wouldn't be able to walk to his workplace without being sneered at and spit on by his fellow community members. Two different people, two completely different circumstances, both in a need of a Savior, both in need of restoration. So if you have your Bible with you, go ahead, open up to Matthew chapter 9. That's where we're going to be today. If you don't have one, that's okay. We'll be putting up the scriptures on the screen. And we're going to be introduced here to our first individual who feels beyond reach. It says, Jesus stepped into a boat. He crossed over and came to his own town when some men brought him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. So here we're introduced to our first broken man, right? And his problem is evident. He's paralyzed. And we don't know how he gets paralyzed. We're not sure if it was he was born this way, if in his youth he fell off a horse and got paralyzed. We don't know how it happens. But what we do know is that his problem, his paralyzation probably would have affected his life so drastically that he would probably be watching his friends playing sports and wondering, what would it be like to jump in there and play along? That even in his day-to-day life, the simple things that we take for granted, he wouldn't be able to do on his own, maybe get dressed or go to the store. And so I wonder at this point if he's just kind of given into the fact that this is how life is going to be for me. This is how life's going to be for me, beyond reach. And so I just imagine how he feels as his friends come to him and say, "Hey, have you heard? Jesus is in town. This is the Jesus that healed the lepers, that cast out the demons from people. It's even rumored that this is the Jesus who calmed the storms." And so if I'm the paralyzed man at this point, I'm thinking, oh, man, that's exciting. I want to go see this Jesus guy. But at the same time, maybe it's just me and the doubter in me, but I'm wondering, if I'm the paralyzed man, can Jesus really heal me? After all this time, can Jesus really heal me? Maybe you're wondering that yourself. You see cool baptisms like Paul's baptism today. Can we give Paul a hand? That was awesome. That was so great. You see a transformation story like that, and you're wondering, can that happen for me? Maybe you're thinking, my past is too bad, or I have areas in my life that are just too dark. Can Jesus really transform me? Well, I think we're going to get the answer in the text here. So the men, they bring their paralyzed friend on a mat to Jesus. And for whatever reason, Matthew leaves out some details that Mark and Luke fill in. And it seems that in the stories of Mark and Luke in this account, that Jesus is teaching in a house, and it's so filled and crowded with people. There's people streaming out the door, maybe people sitting in the windowsills, that the men can't bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus. And so one of them has this great idea. Well, what if we go on the roof and dig through the roof, and then we can lower him down to Jesus? Sounds like a group of men to me. So here they are, they're digging through the roof, desperately trying to get their friend to Jesus. Mud, dirt, probably falling down. People are probably wondering, what is going on? And they're lowering this paralyzed man down to Jesus. And if I'm the paralyzed man being lowered down, I'm thinking, wow, this better at work, or else this is going to be really awkward, right? This is quite an entrance. And I think it's just so interesting what Jesus says here, this interaction that Jesus has with them. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, two things really stand out to me here. The first is that it says, when Jesus saw their faith. And this is kind of unusual because usually Jesus is commending the faith of the person with the issue who comes straight to him. Think of the woman who is bleeding that touches Jesus' cloak. He commends her faith. But here, Jesus is commending the faith of the friends, of the ones who are lowering this paralyzed man down to Jesus, of these people who are desperately trying to get this person to Jesus. You know, as I read this, I'm inspired. I'm thinking, the world needs more faithful friends. The world could use more faithful friends who are just desperate to get the people in their life in the presence of Jesus. Amen? Yeah, the world needs more faithful friends. But the thing about it is, I don't know about you, but it's sometimes hard to be a faithful friend because usually being a faithful friend means that you kind of have to be annoying at times. You have to embrace those awkward moments knowing, I think you're going to thank me for this later. I remember in high school, I had this group of guys. We had this group that met at our house. It was a Bible study. It was called D Group. And we had a blast together. And on Sunday mornings, we would carpool to church in the morning. And we would be texting our friends, and are you ready? We're going to be there in 5. And there'd be once in a while those mornings where our friend would just not be responding to our text. And so we'd be outside maybe honking the horn, like, what's going on? And so instead of just driving off, and you have to keep in mind, this isn't a prescription. We had a good relationship with each other. We'd go into their house, open up the blinds, maybe peer their eyelids open and say, come on, man. Put a hat on, you're going to church, we'll get you dunks on the way. That's annoying, right? That's a little awkward. But the reality is, I can tell you, we're all thankful for each other that we had faithful friends who are willing to bring us before Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, who do you need to be a faithful friend to right now? Who is God putting on your heart that you need to be a faithful friend to get in the presence of Jesus? Maybe God's putting someone on your heart this morning that's just texting someone who's been not around the past year because of COVID. Maybe it's someone in your life that you feel like you need to sit down with them. You guys know each other well, but it's time to share your story. It's time to talk about your faith. It's time to embrace a little bit of awkwardness and bring up Jesus. Who do you need to bring before Jesus? Because I'll tell you what, being a faithful friend, sometimes it's annoying, but you're thankful for them in hindsight. And that's what we see. It says that the men lower their friend down to Jesus. And Jesus says, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Now, honestly, that's not what I expected Jesus to say here. If I'm one of his friends, I might be like, paralyzed. You know, like, Jesus, can't you see? He can't stand. But Jesus knows the man's condition. He knows what's going on here. But Jesus knows that if he heals this man externally, if he gets him up walking, which he has the power to do, but if and he doesn't address his soul, if he doesn't address his internal state, then he'll have him out the door walking, but his eternal resting point will not be with God. See, Jesus wants to heal him internally. He wants to address his soul. He wants to address his internal condition before he heals him externally. Jesus' priorities are eternal first. And so Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And I imagine at this point, maybe the paralyzed man, he has tears streaming down his face. Maybe he just feels a weight lifted off of him with these words that he wasn't expecting. And Jesus, he's making a bold claim when he says this here, because really God has the authority to heal sin, to forgive sins. God only is the one who can forgive sins. And so he's kind of showing his cards to the people around him that he has the authority, that he is God in flesh. And so I imagine while some of the people are like, "Whoa, that's awesome," it seems that there's some people that are equally as upset by these words. It says, "At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, 'This fellow is blaspheming.' Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, 'Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' So he said to the paralyzed man, 'Get up, take your mat, and go home.' Then the man got up and went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to man." What an amazing scene, right? Here he is, paralyzed to walking. And I imagine maybe the paralyzed man, as he's carrying his mat, maybe he does like a little heel click on the way out, passing the Pharisees, like, "Yeah, take that." And it's such an amazing scene where Jesus is reaching down to this man who thought he was out of reach, showing him you're not out of reach when you're in the presence of Jesus. A beautiful moment. And so he's out the door walking, and the only ones who can't stomach it is these teachers, these Pharisees, because they're seeing this man who's saying that he's God in flesh, and that Jesus is saying, "I haven't come just to fix broken legs. I've come to win hearts. I've come to save souls. I've come to take the sin of the world. I've come to show everybody that no one is beyond reach." So we have our first man down. Our second one is going to see the same thing, but his problem, he's not physically disabled. He's not physically beyond reach. He's socially beyond reach. Let's keep going on in the text together. It says in verse 9, "As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth." So here's our second guy, Matthew. And turns out this is the guy who actually writes the book we're reading, Matthew. Pretty cool. And he's a tax collector. Now, just by the name alone, you know that his public rapport is probably not very good. He's a tax collector. He imposes the taxes on the people. But on top of that, just a little context, the Jews at this time were under the Roman occupation. And so in order for Matthew to be a tax collector, he would have had to betray his own people to work for the Romans and impose taxes for the Romans on his own people. And so it's fair to say that Matthew was despised and hated by his people, that he was known as a traitor by his own people. And not only that, but it was known that tax collectors would oftentimes, they would overcharge the person that they were imposing their taxes on, and they would give what's due to the Romans, and they would pocket the rest for themselves. And so here's Matthew, probably walking down the streets, called names, sneered at, spit on by his own people. And as I read this, I wonder, what did it take for Matthew to get into this occupation, right? Like, why did he become a traitor of his own people? I wonder, at this point, does Matthew even regret becoming a tax collector? Does he regret it? But at this point, I'm sure even if he does regret his decisions, he feels boxed into this new identity that he has. Who knows, maybe he needed the money. Maybe he already felt rejected by his people. He thought, well, what do I have to lose? But at this point, it's Matthew's identity. And he's boxed in to his decisions of his past. And it's now his identity. Maybe some of you can relate to being boxed in by your past. It's your identity. Maybe there's some of you here, you're living with a spouse that you're not married to, and when you started, you just thought, oh, we'd save money, we're in love, we're gonna get married anyway. And now months have passed by, and you're still not married to one another, and you're thinking, oh, it's too awkward to address now. You feel boxed in by the decisions of your past. Maybe there's some people here that you're in a job that honestly you could care less about, but hey, I went to school for it, and so you're in this job now, and you don't have any passions for it, and you feel boxed in by the decisions of your past. You just stay because it pays the bills and there's security. It's funny how our past decisions can so easily box us in to an identity that we now have. But the cool thing about Jesus is Jesus doesn't define you by your past. He doesn't box you into your past. Instead, he calls you into a new future. He identifies you by your future, by a new calling in him. And so that's exactly what we see here with Matthew, is he calls him out of his old past, of his old identity, into a new identity in Jesus. And he does it with two words. The text says, "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. Man, I love that. It's like zero hesitation. It's almost like Matthew was waiting for him to say these words, "Follow me." He gets up, and in two words, he destroys the box of Matthew's past identity, and Jesus, and Matthew steps into a new future with Jesus. Pretty cool, right? I want to encourage you today that Jesus is not defining you by your past. He doesn't box you in to your past. In fact, Jesus smashes boxes. He smashes the boxes of your past. And that's why I love my job, is because here I get to watch Jesus break the box of addiction. He breaks the box of worthless. He breaks the box of promiscuity and lust. He breaks the box of workaholic. He even breaks the box of beyond reach. It's so fun to watch. Jesus smashes boxes in our old identities because he calls us into a new identity in him. Amen. I want to encourage you, Jesus can smash that old box you've been living in this morning with two words. All he has to say is, follow me. And I wonder how many of you this morning, you're needing to hear that this morning, that Jesus is saying, follow me to you. And maybe you're thinking, I'm scared. I don't know what that means. Follow me? What does that look like? Well, Jesus will show you. But when you step out of your old self and into a new future, Jesus will completely change your identity. You no longer have to be defined by your past, no matter how bad or dirty or wrong you think it is. It's exactly what he does for Matthew. And I almost picture maybe Matthew just flips that tax collector's booth, kind of like what we see in the bumper. The text actually doesn't say that. But I thought that would be pretty cool if he just flips that booth and follows Jesus. And so later on that night, what we see is that there's a party. There's parties in the Bible. Yeah, so there's a party at Matthew's house, that Matthew has Jesus and all the disciples at his house, because how do you celebrate new beginnings? You throw a party. And so verse 10, it says, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? So here are these guys again, and maybe at this point you're thinking, what is with these Pharisees? Seems like they're following Jesus around everywhere he goes, trying to catch him in some kind of dirt, like they're detectives following him around, and they finally find something. Here's Jesus hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. And it's kind of cool to think that here the text says many tax collectors. So it seems like Matthew's already putting his network to work, right? Here are all these tax collectors at his house, that God is using him and his past to reach people that only he could reach because of his former occupation. So here are all these tax collectors hanging out, and Matthew's being a faithful friend, having them over his house with Jesus. But I picture the music just kind of stops. And the Pharisees come in and they ask this question, what are you doing, Jesus, hanging out with these people? Don't you see they're the problem? And maybe we would think the same thing if it was in our context, that Jesus was hanging out with some prostitutes or a biker gang with, you know, tats on their neck, or some crooked politicians. You'd be thinking, Jesus, what are you doing hanging out with those people? Don't you see that they're the problem? But Jesus' response is so genius here. Let's keep going. It says, on hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. See, Jesus is really hitting it home for the Pharisees at this point. He's saying, hey, you see those people who you think are beyond reach, who you don't think are worthy? Well, guess what? Those are the people that I'm called here for. And the reason why the Pharisees can't see Jesus for who he is, they can't see him as a savior, is because they think they're good. They think that they're earning God's goodness, that they're earning their way into God's favor. They think they're fine the way they are. And they think that those guys, they're the problem. But Jesus is saying, those are the people that I'm called to love. Those are the people that I've come for. And that's why Matthew and the paralyzed man, they have something in common. They both know they're sick in need of a doctor. They both know that they're sinners in need of a savior. And so today, maybe you felt beyond reach in one way or another. Maybe you're a follower of Jesus even now and you feel beyond reach, like you have a part of your life that's being tucked away that you don't think that Jesus can heal or restore. Or maybe there's some people here, you don't even know Jesus at all. But you're thinking, Graham, if you knew my past, if you knew the things that I got into, Jesus doesn't want me on his team. Just put it that way. But here's the deal. You are exactly the person that Jesus came for. If you think that you're beyond reach, you are exactly the person that Jesus has come for. And so I want to encourage you today, if you have a repentant heart and you want Jesus to be your Savior, or if you just want to renew your relationship with him, I think that he would say three things. And he says these things in the text. He says it to the paralyzed man and to Matthew. I think he would say to you this morning, I think he'd say, your sins are forgiven. I took those on the cross. When I died the death you deserved, get up. Get up out of that lifestyle you're living. Get up out of that muck and grime. And I think he would say, follow me. You don't need to be identified by your past anymore. You don't need to be boxed in anymore. You can follow Jesus into a new future. And that's what it's all about, forming a new identity in Jesus. I think you would say, get up. No, your sins are forgiven. Get up and follow me. So maybe you're thinking, what does that look like practically for me this morning? Well, I think there are two practical things this morning that you can do if you just want to take a step closer to Jesus this morning. There's going to be a prayer team under the screens on my right and on my left, and they would love to just pray for you for whatever you have. Whether it's a health issue, an emotional issue, a spiritual issue, they would love to just pray for you. If you need to be socially distanced and prayed over, that's fine too, but we want to pray for you this morning. And maybe this morning you're thinking, I want to follow Jesus. I want to break the box of my past. I want to step into a new life with Jesus. Then we can do that through baptism this morning, just like what you saw with Paul who got baptized this morning. So awesome. We can do that for you too. We have towels, shorts, shirts, changing rooms in the back. We would love to help you see what it means to die to your old self and be raised to a new life in Jesus. Because here's the deal. In Jesus, we were all beyond reach because we're all sinners. Romans 3 says, we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus lived a perfect life. He came down to earth. He died on the cross for you and for me. And he rose 3 days later to show us that no one is beyond his reach. And so I want to encourage you this morning, you are not beyond reach this morning. We're going to take communion together. You can pull that out. But I'm going to pray and then we'll go into our time of communion. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness that we're not beyond reach in you, Jesus. God, we love you so much and thank you for bringing everyone here and whoever's watching this online as well. Thank you for them. God, we all have parts of our life that we like to tuck away. We all have, even us Christians who should know better, we all limit ourselves and put ourselves in boxes that we know we shouldn't. So Jesus, today we ask that you'd break those boxes, that you'd shine a light in those places of our life that are hidden and gross and that we want to keep away from you. And we'd experience the freedom and wholeness of reaching out our hand and following you, Jesus. We love you. It's in your name I pray. Amen.